Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.
Women have been urged to make their cervical screening appointments, and it really comes despite the current pandemic on what is Cervical Cancer Prevention Week. The clinical director of the Service of Cervical Check, Dr. Noreen Russell, is here with us on Lunchtime Live today and is advising women to continue to make those appointments. Dr. Russell, thanks for your time here in News Talk. Can I just ask you, first of all, services, they're up and running.
Yeah, look, I'd like to acknowledge that it is an evolving situation, but at the moment, Cervical Check is still receiving samples from our primary care colleagues, and our 15 colposcopy clinics around the country are all open for women who screen positive and need further tests or treatment.
Why are the services continuing to run and to operate this time during lockdown when in the early part of last year they didn't? It's obviously a good thing. We need this. But why has that change been made?
I think in March of last year, we were all, I suppose, so afraid and so unsure of what we needed to do to make sure that we provided a safe service. I think we know a lot more about COVID-19 and transmission and how to provide a safe service now than we did at that time. And it was, I suppose, the screening services were paused in line with public health advice. And we are very cognizant of following that advice. But at the moment, I want to reassure women that we can provide safe, COVID-safe care, both in primary care and in colposcopy clinics. And we have a lot of measures in place now. We've spaced out the appointments, you know, acknowledging social distancing. We have PPE available. And we just know a lot more about how to keep patients safe and keep staff safe.
Do we know how many appointments were cancelled, Noreen, for patients last year?
I don't have those figures to hand, but what I can tell you is that the screening numbers, we screened in approximately 139,000 women in primary care last year. So we would have sent, by the end of 2020, every woman who was due her screening test got an invitation. So we sent out 270,000 invitations. We know when we look back in 2019 that we screened 210,000 women. So if you take 210, we got 40,000 women in last year. We would estimate that there's around 70,000, maybe 100,000 women who were due their screening test in 2020, who need to be looked after in 2021. But I suppose that's another big driver. We want to stay running and just keep that screening in the community going. But I just want to emphasize that the colposcopy clinic stayed open throughout all of last year.
But
they
only, and correct me if I'm wrong, Noreen, only for people who were presenting with high level abnormalities following their smear test. If you were somebody who went for a smear test and required further investigation for even low grade abnormalities, my understanding was that the colposcopy services weren't open.
No, that's not quite true. At this moment in time, we've two of our 15 clinics in this level 5 lockdown who are just accepting high grade referrals. But throughout 2020, all of the 15 clinics looked after women with high grade and with low grade referrals. So this is something that the program keeps an eye on a regular basis. And our standards are that women with high grade disease should be seen within 4 weeks, and those with low grade disease should be seen within 8 weeks. And we look at those figures. There were a couple of problems during the year in clinics around the country, but by the end of the year, all of those women with low-grade disease were getting, there had been a backlog, and that had been addressed by the vast majority of clinics.
So to clarify, while somebody who might have been due for a referral in April or May of last year to colposcopy may then have been, they might have received, rescheduled, I should say, they were seen by the end of 2020.
Absolutely,
okay.
Yeah. And,
okay,
and so there was actually 52,000 women seen in colposcopy clinics last year, which is pretty much what we would have expected. So the colposcopy clinics used the time to clear any backlog they had for women who were waiting. So there were absolutely all the 15 clinics were seeing women with low-grade disease as well, because you don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes the women who are referred in with low-grade disease have something more serious going on, so it just wouldn't be acceptable to not see them.
Okay, but it is then the case is that they were seen at some point in 2020. It might have been just to the latter end of last year.
Exactly.
Okay. Of that 100,000 that you mentioned to Dr. Russell that we didn't get round to seeing last year, will they definitely be seen this year, in the early part of the year?
I suppose the what we're saying to women is we're accepting samples, we're open for business. The issue, what we're asking women to have a little bit of, I suppose, patience with is the fact that in the pandemic, GPs and our and practice nurses are juggling lots of other healthcare needs, and it might be that they can't do the screening test in January. It may be a February appointment or indeed a March appointment. But what we're saying to women is whenever you can get an appointment, please book it, because we are really keen to get those 2020 women in, the women who didn't get their test in 2020. And we're also keen to keep going with our women who are due this year. So the I suppose the power is with the woman. She has the she knows she's due, and she has the ability to book that appointment. And that's what we're asking the women of Ireland.
So if there's people listening to us here on Lunchtime Live today, Dr. Russell, who were due to receive a smear test last year, they didn't get their routine smear test. If they're one of that 100,000 there, what you're saying here today is they will definitely get it this year.
I suppose I can't ever say anything for definite, but what I can say is that we have very good buy-in from primary care partners there. We're receiving samples this month at kind of 60% of the expected number. So there's a lot of screening going on. And with that with that amount of commitment to screening from our primary care partners, I would expect that we will be able to have a screening appointments available, and then it's just up to the woman to make that appointment.
So it's up to the individual woman to make her appointment for her cervical smear check. This is with your own local GP, effectively.
Exactly. We have, and some women prefer to go to a different GP and for their screening test, and the list of all the providers is up on our cervical check website.
Are there many appointments that people don't turn up for?
I don't have the figures for primary care, but I know it's something that we keep a really close eye on in colposcopy clinics. Our standard is we want that number to be less than 10%, and generally around the country, the clinics will achieve that standard. So women are very, very conscious about going for their follow-on visits in colposcopy. It's harder to measure that in primary care.
For people that might be, Dr. Russell, a little bit concerned, because it's probably one of the areas, you know, as individuals, as patients, we don't tend to know a huge amount about it until you actually go and you go through the cervical screening process. For people that might be concerned that maybe their appointment was cancelled or rescheduled for this year, what would you say to them?
Well, I'd like to reassure women that what's the change is what we're screening for. The abnormalities on your cervix change very, very slowly. So we know that it takes, on average, 10 to 15 years for precancer cells on the cervix to develop into a cervical cancer. So a delay of 6 months or even 6 to 8 months is very unlikely to lead to a problem or to lead to a delay for women. However, what I would really like to say is that any woman out there who's listening, who's experiencing symptoms such as vaginal bleeding in between periods, bleeding after sexual intercourse, or indeed postmenopausal bleeding, please don't wait for screening. Those symptoms could be an indicator of something serious. And in that scenario, please contact your GP, because you may need referral onwards for urgent gynecology assessment. However, for the well woman with no symptoms, a short delay is very unlikely to have any impact.
Because what we're talking about here is this isn't cancer treatment. And there was a lot of talk during the COVID-19 lockdown, Dr. Russell, about services, you know, various different types of medical services and treatments that have been cancelled and postponed. What we're talking about is pre-screening. This isn't treatment.
You're absolutely right. So screening, our main goal is to detect abnormalities and pre-cancers and treat them before they actually turn into cancer. Now, sometimes in that process, we do diagnose cancer as well, but that's not our main goal. Population screening is about detecting abnormalities, identifying them and treating them before they actually become cancer.
Are you concerned as the clinical director of Cervical Check that the fact that some appointments and people's appointments were rescheduled during the lockdown, do you have concerns that we could potentially see undiagnosed cervical cancer cases in the future?
I think it's unlikely, as because of the slow growing nature of cervical cancer. So as I said, if you have precancer cells, on average, it takes them 10 to 15 years before they develop into cancer. But what I would like is that the message just about symptoms. I'm really worried that women would wait for their screening test when they have symptoms and say, oh, I'll just wait till that appointment comes. And I really want to urge women not to do that. If you have any unusual symptoms, you should really make your appointment with your GP straight away. And that's where I think the risk is. I think the risk of a couple of months in delay to a screening test, I'm not concerned about that, but I would be concerned if a woman with symptoms waited for her screening test.
What about people, Dr. Russell, who might be a little bit concerned at the moment, obviously with the COVID-19 cases, and maybe don't see their cervical smear, maybe a biannual smear as being their top priority, and just with the cases would prefer to limit their contacts? Like, how can you reassure people that the GP services are safe at the moment to go in for the likes of the smear test?
So I think that's a great question. And obviously, you know, people are scared. It's a really, really frightening time. And we know that a lot of women were too frightened to interact with any healthcare services. What I would like to say to women is we know a lot more now than we knew last March. We have processes in place. So things like, you know, a COVID questionnaire, first of all, making sure that if anyone has any symptoms or has been identified as a close contact, they defer their appointment so they're not putting the staff or other patients at risk. We're running empty waiting room policies, which means you might the appointments are more spaced out and you might need to wait in the car until it's your time to come in. We have PPE, which is personal protective equipment, so gloves and masks and gowns. And all of that reduces your risk significantly. The other thing I would say to women is it's a really quick test. It would be brilliant if you could read up on the new test, the HPV screening test.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about that, because I suppose really for anybody who didn't have a test in 2020, when you do go for your test in 2021, you'll now notice that you're getting a different test. You're testing now for HPV as opposed to what we all would have known as the smear test. There's no real difference though.
From the woman's point of view, there's no real difference. It's the same. The test is taken in the same way. It's still an intimate examination. Speculum is inserted in the woman's vagina and a sample is taken from the surface of the cervix. What's different is at laboratory level. So we've changed to HPV screening because it's a better test. We know that when we screen with HPV, we will pick up more cervical abnormalities. So if I can just give you kind of an idea of that. So for every 1,000 women who have a screening test, 980 will have no abnormalities to be found. There'll be nothing going on. But there will be 20 women in that 1,000 who have cervical cell abnormalities. We know that screening with HPV will detect 18 out of 20. So it still won't detect all of them. We know that there are two that won't be detected. That's the limitation of screening. And that compares much better than the smear test, which used to detect 15 out of 20. So it's an improved test. And if we find HPV, we then do a reflex test to look at the cells on the cervix.
I should say my most recent cervical check, Dr. Russell, was a HPV test. So I know that for anybody listening to us today that might be going for their cervical screening test in the not too distant future, if you've been for a smear test before, the HPV test as the customer or the patient, it's no different. It's as the process itself is really no different to what you would have gone through previously.
Yeah, and I think that's really reassuring for women to hear. It is, it's exactly the same. And I think it's a good opportunity if your appointment is going to be in 4 or 6 weeks' time, it would be brilliant if you could read up, or if women could read up on the test and look at the information on the website and on the leaflets, because then that will help to make that appointment when the test is being taken less than 15 minutes, and that reduces the risk for both the patient and for the healthcare profession.
Okay, Dr. Noreen Russell, Clinical Director of Cervical Check. Thanks for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today. If you're among that cohort that maybe had appointments rescheduled or changed, if you're trying to make an appointment and maybe you are experiencing some difficulty, we want to hear your stories today. You can get us by text. It's 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. You can drop us an email too. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks, a rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.